the sin of Adam and the grace of God. The sin of Adam and the grace of God. Romans 5, verse 12 through 21 is really kind of a contrast. Gives us a contrast. I don't want you to think before we get into this thing that it is a feature focused totally on what Adam did in the garden. It is actually put down so that we can see where it all started from and the depth of what started. Let's read real quick. I want y'all to take my word for it. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1 through verse number 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Like I said before, obedience and disobedience, man, they got consequences. Lord. And they not only get you, Pastor, they get everybody around you, whether you obey or disobey. Nobody's left unscathed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Brother Ernest, can you read it for me? Roll it. Roll it, brother. You're good.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings.
You all, anytime we try to seek knowledge outside of what God has provided us, we are in trouble already. If we make choices outside of what God has, if we disobey God and don't do what he's asked us to do, it's interesting because whatever is tempting us is promising us something that will not come to pass. What's going to come to pass is not quite what you thought it was. I think I can handle these consequences. Really? No, you can't. And not only can you not handle the consequences, but everybody behind you is now going to have to be messed up because now you've chosen to disobey God. Now wait, Adam was the only one who sinned. Interesting. Adam stands, come here, sweetie, sit up real quick. Sit by me. He is our federal head. He stands in front of the human race. Whatever he does, they do. Because he sinned, now he's passing that sin on to everybody else. So that means that everybody born after this man is now a sinner. What does that mean? It means, thanks, baby. It means that everybody that's born after me is now spiritually dead. And not only are you spiritually dead and separated from God, but let me see. You are now subject to physical death. So I didn't have nothing to do with what Adam did, but now I'm subject to all of this stuff. So I want to tell you all, be careful what choices you make. Because they have consequences, and the people behind you will pay. and they didn't have nothing to do with it. Because of the choices that you made. Was that clear? Amen. And it says also in verse 14, it says, now Adam was a type of the one to come. Interesting. Everybody know what an antitype is? An antitype is a complete opposite of the one that you're typing. So it says now that Adam was a type of the one to come. So he messed up, slung everybody into sin and death by the result of sin, but there was an antitype coming. Who is that antitype? The antitype is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if he's an antitype, all those things that are opposite from this type are now found in Christ. Now, this type plunged everybody into sin, and this type that was coming, which is Jesus Christ, now by the righteous obedience to God, has now entered righteousness and life. And one more time. Sorry. And since this federal head, Jesus Christ, has been obedient to God, whatever happens in him is now transferred now to the ones who are in Christ. That's you and that's me. Thanks. Amen. I was once lost, but through Christ, I'm found. I used to hate people, but now through Christ, through this anti-type, Jesus Christ, I'm free to love you. Yeah. Free. Let me catch my breath here. I'm getting old. Verse 15 through 17. The sin of Adam caused death and separation from God. You all, when he sinned and fell in the garden, God came and asked Adam, where are you at? Adam, where are you at? That's what sin do to you. You sin, it don't give you what it promised you. And then number two, you after you do all that stuff, you have no idea where you at. You're messed up and you don't even know you're messed up. God calls Adam, where you at? Where you at? Adam don't even know where he is. He said, this woman you gave me messed me up. Interesting. God told him directly, don't eat from the tree. But he said, this woman that you gave me has messed me up. That's what sin do to you. That's why you don't play around with sin. You flee the very appearance of sin. Because its stronghold pulls you down, pull your testimony down. I thought they was a Christian. What? Okay. I said I'm going to catch my breath today. It also says, one man's sin gave sin control over us, over our members. Now, the Bible says members, but these are just output devices. This is the computer up here. What Adam did, he sinned, and the computer was now controlled by sin. If it's controlled by sin, then my output devices are going to be known as sinful members. Because they're going to do exactly what they told to do. My feet going to go where they're not supposed to be going. My mouth is going to be saying things I have no business saying.
My eyes going to be looking at other women when I ain't supposed to be looking at nobody but my wife? But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Let's see. Go to Romans chapter 6. I think we did this last week, but it bears us going back. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. You want to read from it to me? Nice and loud. Wait a minute. The Bible says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body no more. Take control or be king over your computer no more. Go ahead, sister. Where I used to be controlled and I could not say no to them things that I used to ride in when I didn't know Jesus, now I can, because now my mind has been freed by the Spirit of God to obey the Word of God so that the people of God can live. So whatever you face in the day, if you feel like you cannot do what you're supposed to do, I'm here to encourage you today. Yes, you can. You're not a slave anymore to your old passions. You're not a slave because Adam has messed up your situation. You're now free because Jesus Christ has now changed your mind, and now your members are righteous. It's interesting. One man's death has caused control of our lives and the unrighteousness of our members. But I'm glad that through the overflow of grace, wherever there was a deep debt of sin, the grace of God was greater. Wherever I was so deep and I thought I couldn't get out, the grace of God got me out. Sin was a deep chasm, but the grace of God went and picked me up and turned me around and set me free. Grace is an unmerited favor. I wasn't worthy to be brought out, but God by His grace brought me out. He brought you out. That's why you can stand today. That's why sin has no more power over you, because grace brought you out. It's amazing. Jesus said in John 8:29. Let's go there. John 8:29. You know what? He's such a great Savior because of His level of obedience, Pastor. He's a great Savior. He's a complete Savior. John chapter 8. Verse 29. Somebody read that for me.
And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I
Go ahead. Good.
As he was saying these things, many believed
in him. The result of Jesus being obedient, Lord have mercy. Those around him were saved as a result of his obedience. Now, can I say this? What if we would obey on another level? What in the world would happen? What they say about Trinity, those few people didn't turn the world upside down. Think about it. Jesus always did the things that pleased the Father. The grace and power of the living God flowed through him, and people were saved. It says in verse 20, now the law came to increase the trespass. Wow. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Moses on Sinai, he get the law. He come down. The Israelites they were partying as he was getting down. They were partying as he was coming down with the law. What the law does, it says, don't do this. Don't do that. But listen, it didn't have power to stop you from doing what it told you not to do. So with our natural tendency, what you told me not to do it, you watch me. Don't step on this grass. That's it. Yeah, amen. That's my natural tendency. So the law showed my natural tendency, and it kept, listen, that's why the priests were in the temple all day long, over and over and over. They sacrificed their robe filled with blood, and the interesting thing is, what that should have said to us is that this is why I have to do this, because you're continually messing up. What it was really doing was pointing toward an anti-type. You need another one to come along to get you out of what you're in, because you can't do it yourself. So the law come to show us you need some help. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need somebody to stand in your place. And that someone is Jesus. But I'm glad again that the grace of God is greater than I said. That was caused by Adam. Because in Christ's obedience, the power of sin had been broken. Broken! That's why on the job, they say, who are you, man? You work hard. You don't say nothing. You ain't complaining about nothing. It is because I know that God has sent me to this job for a purpose. And if I'm obedient to that purpose, somebody's going to get free. Wherever you are, you there for a purpose. God's plan is working in you. Obey, somebody gets saved. Obey, somebody gets free. And I don't have to oblige my old nature no more. If I've been cussing you out, I don't have to do it no more. Brother, if you've been cussing me out, I can still love you and pray for you. Because I'm free. Because you're free. First Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 58.
First Corinthians 15:55-58. Somebody read that for me. Hold on, Lord. We got the reader coming. Thanks, babe. Wait a minute. Did y'all hear what he says? Death has been swallowed up because of this Jesus Christ and his obedience. Death has been swallowed up. Men were in fear of death for the whole of their lives, but it has been swallowed up since this Jesus has come. So, number one, I'm not afraid about being separated from God no more. And number two, I'm not afraid to die no more because it's just a vehicle to get me to the living God now. Finish up, bro. I ain't gonna stop you no more. Broken. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Power been broken. And then it says in verse 58, be steadfast and unmovable. Because of what Jesus has done, we now can be steadfast, immovable in wherever he's put us in. Because of what he's done. Whatever you face today, be ye steadfast, immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For the Bible said, for your labor is what? Not in vain. The sin of Adam and the grace of God. We said that sin caused a deep chasm, but the grace of God through Christ Jesus has bridged that. When we get to the table today, we'll be celebrating that bridge. He has bridged a born dead in sin, according to Ephesians, and he has quickened us and made us alive. And not only has he made us alive, he is seated in the heavenly places, and we're seated with him in heavenly places. No matter what sin tried, grace had his number. That's why you're alive today. Because grace had his number. If you would, remember. Brother Ernest, I keep forgetting the disclaimer. If you were not going to obey, you should not have come. Whatever you used to be doing, you don't have to do that no more. Those things, that places where you used to walk, you don't have to do it no more. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Them thoughts you used to be tasting, you don't have to do it no more. The sin of Adam and the grace of God. Hope you are blessed. Hope you got set free. I did. Amen. Brother Dan.